presents another program in its series, I Was a Convict. Tonight in our studios, we have a man who was a convict. 3 years ago, this man heard,
"Prisoner to the bar. You have been charged with and found guilty of the crime of assault with a dangerous weapon. On September 10th, 1943, you shot and wounded a man with a revolver unlawfully in your possession. The police reveal that you have committed many and other crimes in this and other cities over the past years. For this crime, it is the judgment of the court that you serve an indeterminate sentence, but no more than 3 years, in the penitentiary."
What made this man commit these crimes? What was the drive behind his criminal behavior? This man, known to us only as Mr. R., has consented to come here tonight to help us find the answer. With him is Edwin J. Lucas, Executive Director of the Society for the Prevention of Crime. Mr. Lucas.
Good evening. Law enforcement is concerned with finding the criminal. Crime prevention is concerned with finding the causes of crime. Our goal tonight is to find some of the causes of Mr. R.'s offenses. Following the judge's sentence, Mr. R. served almost 2 years in the penitentiary and was then released on parole. He is now 26 years old. The judge asserted that this crime was committed on September 10, 1943, but I can't agree. The crimes that Mr. R. committed have their roots in the years he was developing as a youngster. Now, Mr. R., tell me, what reason did you have for shooting this fellow?
I had no reason at all. It was an accident.
Oh, I see, an accident. Was the gun yours?
Yes, it was mine.
And was this the first time you owned a gun?
Yes.
Now, Mr. R., I see from your record that you have had 5 previous convictions for robbery and burglary. Is that right?
Yes, it was.
I'd like to know something about them. The first, I see, was in 1934 when you were about 14 years old. What did you do then?
I'd broken into an empty house and stolen the lead pipes, which I have sold.
What did you do with the money that you got?
I spent it as any foolish boy would.
What sentence did you get for that?
I received 10 months probation.
Now, the second time, I see, was when you were 15 years old. What did you do then?
I did the same as I did the first time.
And did you spend the money the same way?
The same way.
What did the court do with you for that?
I was sent to a home for delinquents.
I see that you were released on parole when you were 16. But about a year later, you were in trouble again. What was the offense that time?
Well, I committed a series of crimes of burglarizing stores.
About how many stores had you burglarized?
Between 10 and 15.
Were you alone, or were there others who worked with you?
There were others.
Men in your neighborhood? Boys in your neighborhood?
In and around the neighborhood.
What sentence did you get for this last burglary?
I was sent to a reform school.
What about the fourth time, the following year? What did you do then?
I was arrested for stealing automobiles.
Were you in that business?
I was in the business.
Were you caught for that?
Yes, I was. I was sent to the reformatory.
How long did you stay that time?
A year.
Now, the fifth time was when you were about 19. You went back for a violation of parole. What was the violation?
I missed a few reports.
To your parole officer?
That's right.
Now, tell us, Mr. R., do you remember the very first time you stole anything at all?
Yes, I do.
What was it?
I was in a boarding school, and I stole the... Well, I wouldn't say stole. I said I borrowed the master's daughter's bicycle.
You say it was a boarding school. What did the school authorities do about that?
Well, they gave me a lecture and called for my father.
And what kind of a reception did you get from your father?
He gave me a stern lecture.
Is that all?
And he removed me from the boarding school to save embarrassment.
Well, now, Mr. R., I'd be interested to know something about your family situation at that time. Were you told why you were placed in boarding school at this early age?
I wasn't told why I was placed in a boarding school, but I knew that my father and mother were separated.
How old were you when they separated?
I don't remember.
Well, you have no recollection, then, of your mother in those years, have you?
Very faintly.
After their separation, with whom did you live?
I lived with my aunt.
Did you have brothers or sisters?
One brother and 2 sisters.
And were all of you together at your aunt's?
No, we weren't.
You mean you went there alone?
That's right.
Did you like living there alone with her? Were you happy?
Well, I was happy up until the time when I had a serious accident.
What kind of an accident? Tell us about it.
Well, I was playing around in a building. They were building a church, and I happened to be on the roof, and I fell to the basement. Spent some time in the hospital.
It couldn't have been long after this that you went to boarding school. Did you like this new arrangement better than living with your aunt?
Well, Mr. Lucas, to tell you the truth, I didn't like it very much because I repeatedly ran away and rejoined my father.
You must have been fond of your father. Did you feel close to him?
Yes, I did feel very close to him.
And did you feel that he loved you?
Yes, I believe he did.
Well, when you ran away from school back to your father, did he keep you with him after that?
Well, for a short time he did keep me, and then he put me in another school.
And did you like the new school any better than the first?
Well, I ran away from there, too.
Ran away again, back to your father?
That's right.
How often did this happen?
Between 9 and 10 times.
In about how many years?
3 years.
And then where did you live?
I was sent to live with another aunt.
Were you told why you were sent to this second aunt of yours?
No, I wasn't told why, but my father brought his business back to a different state. I went there so I could be near him.
Well, that meant adjustment to still another home, didn't it?
Yes.
I'd like to ask you whether during this runaway period from the ages of about 8 to 10, did you do any stealing at all?
Well, I stole from the 5 and 10, and I did a childish prank by stealing some candy.
Your father provided you with the things you wanted and needed in those days, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Did you get a thrill or excitement out of stealing?
Oh, I got a kick out of beating a man for the candy.
Well, now let's get back to your aunt, your second aunt. Did you like living with her?
Yes, I did.
Did you see your father often during those days?
As often as I wanted to.
And was that very often?
Well, on the average of maybe twice a week.
And then what happened?
Then he died.
How old were you when he died?
13.
And after he died, did you continue to live with this aunt and her family of whom you were so fond?
Well, until about a year later, and then I went to live with my mother.
With your mother? Well, how often had you seen your mother while your father was alive?
Not very often.
She was almost like a stranger to you then, wasn't she?
Well, not complete a stranger.
With whom did you prefer to live then, your mother or your aunt?
With my aunt.
Did you feel that your mother loved you?
Well, I don't know. I lived most of the time away from her.
Where had your sisters and your brother been living all these years?
With my mother.
And now that this family was brought together again, how did it work out?
Well, not so well. I began to get in trouble.
Well, just about the time you began living with your mother, is that when you started getting into trouble?
That's right.
Mr. R., you were never graduated from grammar school, were you?
No.
How old were you when you went to live with your mother?
14.
And was that when this chain of arrests and convictions that we spoke about before began?
That's right.
It wasn't long after you lived with your mother that you were arrested for the first time.
Yes.
What about your sisters and your brother? Have any of them had any conflict with the law?
No.
Now, just one more question, Mr. R. How is your health? How have you been all these years?
Well, I have a nervous disorder which has no effect on my health, but it...
What do you mean by a nervous disorder?
Well, I have a slight tremor of the hands.
I see. Thank you, Mr. R. Tonight, Mr. R. has telescoped for us the events in his young lifetime which had significant effect upon his behavior. We have touched only the highlights, no more. In some of our previous interviews, we encountered youngsters who developed strong hostilities toward their parents. We were able to trace some of the later behavior of those youngsters to feelings of rejection, of loneliness, and of curious fantasy. Tonight's case poses the question, can a boy behave as though he had been rejected, notwithstanding a father's great love for him and his for his father? Let's see what part this played in Mr. R.'s behavior. Mr. R., as a child, recalls that he had most of the physical things he wanted. His early recollection of his mother is somewhat vague, since his parents separated when he was very young. At that time, though he had two sisters and a younger brother, he was the only one sent to live with his aunt. Now it happens that he had a deeper feeling of affection toward this aunt than he possessed for his own mother. But at that point, a series of incidents occurred which strongly influenced Mr. R.'s life. We have an example of how almost always it requires a combination of factors to shape the careers of youngsters. First, he sustained a serious accident. After convalescing in a hospital for a year, he was placed in a boarding school. Now, certainly not every child placed in a boarding school becomes a delinquent. Fortunately, the vast majority of such children adjust themselves to their new situation. They manage to establish relationships that are satisfying. And schools can help in these cases, but often fail to do more than offer discipline and regimentation. Mr. R's reaction to this new situation became noticeable very early. Young Mr. R was at that point being tossed around from one home and school to another at the precise time he wanted to be at home with those to whom he was so devoted. Now, how was Mr. R to accomplish his purpose? By some unseemly behavior, he would invite expulsion from school. Failing that, he would run away from school and rejoin his father. This, indeed, he did on several occasions. And those gestures were the clearest symptoms of what the boy needed, namely, a stable, consistent, and continuous home life that would have given to him a feeling of security, of belonging to someone, particularly to his father, whom he adored. But he didn't succeed in getting any of these things. Failing to achieve his purpose, Mr. R's reactions multiplied in number and in intensity. He was again shifted to the home of another aunt. Then his father died when Mr. R was about 13, and then his mother appeared upon the scene. Now, at that stage, she was almost a stranger to him. Nevertheless, she secured custody of Mr. R, and living with her was the last thing he wanted to do. His behavior pattern became even more pronounced. His offenses became more ambitious. He began to do the things which, when he was younger, partially succeeded in taking him away from an environment which he despised. He plundered, and he engaged in the stolen car racket. On these occasions, he was sent to correctional institutions. But because nothing that happened at those institutions gave him any incentive to alter his attitudes, and because nothing that happened to him outside the institutions resulted in altering his fundamentally unsuitable home situation, these experiences hadn't the slightest effect upon his behavior. His basic attitudes remained the same, and therefore his behavior didn't change. And his nervous disorder, his trembling, may conceivably stem from the terrible conflict into which he was plunged from early youth. The broken home situation imposed upon the harassed father the necessity of physically caring for the child. The aunt's home was, apparently, an adequate substitute for the parent's home. We may trace the initial difficulty in part to the fact that Mr. R, as a child, was required to abandon even his substitute home for the impersonal atmosphere of a school in which neither his father nor his aunt existed. A good foster home might have spared the community the necessity of dealing with him subsequently on the makeshift basis of correctional institutions, which were symbolic of boarding schools to which he had been sent. We have seen how Mr. R's dilemma resolved itself in crime. But though crime takes a moment to commit, it requires a young lifetime to prepare. We have also seen how Mr. R's dilemma could have been prevented. Prevention is infinitely less expensive and more enduring than belated attempts at correction. In any case, correction must consist of treatment. Treatment related to the causes of criminal behavior.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas. There is a vast difference between law enforcement and crime prevention. Law enforcement involves finding the criminal. Crime prevention involves finding the causes of crime. Next week at this same time, the Mutual Broadcasting System, in cooperation with the Society for the Prevention of Crime, will again present I Was a Convict with Mr. Edwin J. Lucas in another interview with a former criminal. For the protection of the people involved, the persons interviewed by Mr. Lucas must remain anonymous both to us and to the public. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.